In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is a joy and a holy privilege for us to be together on this, my first day as the rector of St. Luke's. Beginnings always bring with them possibility and promise, and yet they also carry weight. The weight of memory, of past expectations unfulfilled, of hopes and dreams and questions. Today's readings meet us in that very place. They speak of the grief and lament that comes with hard times. They remind us of the rich gifts of faith handed down from generation to generation. They call us to remember that the Christian life is one of humble service. And they encourage us to be diligent in rekindling the flame of God's Spirit that is within each of us. The Book of Lamentations begins with a searing cry. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become, she that was great among the nations. It's an honest crying out, an unsanitized naming of grief before God. We see themes of grief and lament continued in this morning's appointed psalmody. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. It's the cry of a people in exile, remembering their homeland, grieving the loss of everything they'd come to know and love, and unsure of what tomorrow would bring. And then right at the end, words that shock us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. How can such words be in the Bible, let alone sung within the beauty of Eucharistic worship? It's important to be clear, these words are not God's command. They are the cry of a wounded, exiled people who had witnessed their own children being slaughtered. They're a snapshot of raw human rage and grief wrapped in a voice of prayer. Psalms are wonderful for this. They do not sanitize human emotion. In their beautiful complexity, they offer words of joy and gratitude, along with words of fear and rage and despair. That such a verse is included in Scripture means this. Even our most pain-filled cries can be spoken to God. God is able to hear them, and God does not turn away from us when our hearts overflow with pain. Yet as Christians, we read these words through the cross. Jesus Christ himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, enduring the world's violence and hatred, and yet answered it not with vengeance, but with forgiveness, crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the person of Jesus Christ, the fullness of human experience, grief included, is not denied, but is taken up, redeemed, and transformed into mercy. So even here, amidst the hardest psalm in the entire book, we glimpse God's faithfulness and are reminded that nothing in us, no grief, no unmet longing, no fury, is beyond God's hearing, God's holding, or God's healing. And that is good news for the church today. We need not pretend that the past was always easy, nor must we deny the sorrows and experiences that shape us. Instead, we can bring them before God, trusting that the one who bore the world's violence can transfigure even our darkest moments of lamentation into hope. From lament, our readings turn to encouragement. Paul tells Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." Faith is something that's rarely, if ever, born in isolation. It's something that's handed down. It's shared in community. Just as Timothy received faith through those who loved him, so this parish has received its faith through generations of Anglicans who have prayed in these very pews, whose praises have echoed in song through good times and not so good times, through years of abundant financial resources and years of leanness, week by week, rooted in the rhythms of the church year. But Paul doesn't tell Timothy simply to look back and to stop there. He tells him to rekindle the faith of God, the gift of God that is within him, reminding us that memory is not meant to fossilize us in the past, but is instead meant to fuel the future. And this is true for us here. As a parish, we cherish the gifts handed down, our proud tradition of Anglican chant, our commitment to worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness, our prayer book heritage. Yet these are not museum pieces. They're living gifts, holy treasures entrusted to us, so that we might keep them alive in our own day and might pass them on rekindled, renewed, and radiant to generations yet to come. As humans, it's very easy to get mired in memories both happy and unhappy. As a parish, it's very easy to look at our current challenges and to succumb to the belief that our best days have come and gone, which can lead to a cycle of fear, marked by digging into particular ways of doing things, lest we be the one to do the thing that breaks the proverbial camel's back. In our reading from Luke's gospel, the disciples fall prey to this temptation, crying out to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." And yet Jesus reminds them that even faith the size of a mustard seed is enough when it is rooted in the Creator of all that is, seen and unseen. He then speaks of servants who, having done their duty, do not expect reward or recognition. Discipleship, Jesus teaches us with his words and actions, is about humble service. In our collective life together, this matters. It can be easy to measure our worth by numbers or by recognition from outside folks. That Jesus reminds us that the true measure of discipleship is steady service, saying our prayers, faithfully keeping the Eucharist, caring for one another, and serving our neighbors in Christ's name. The prayer book calls this our bounden duty and service: to worship the Lord, to give thanks to God for the many blessings we receive at God's hand, and to live out our faith not for applause, but for the love of God. Priest, deacon, crucifer, subdeacon, greeter, choir member, hospitality folks, you get the picture. started listing folks and thought, I'm going to miss someone. You get the picture. We all serve together as fellow servants of the gospel in this time and in this place. Paul's charge to Timothy is as fresh now as it was then. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The treasure is not ours to own, but ours to tend. It's like a flame. Left alone, it can flicker and die. Tended faithfully, it can burn brightly, giving light and warmth. Here at St. Luke's, this flame has been tended for over 100 years through the rhythms of morning and evening prayer, through the celebration of the Holy Eucharist, through our mutual encouragement of each other in good times and bad, and through keeping the calendar of saints and the church seasons. These are not merely old customs. They are the very means by which the Spirit renews and sustains us. My calling as your priest is not to bring a flame of my own, but to tend with you the flame already burning here, to work with you to polish its silver stick and to gently draw our attention to times when its wick is in need of trimming, that it might shine more brightly. And your calling as God's people in this place is to let that light shine, not only within these walls, but into our neighborhood and our city. We embark on this next stage of the journey. I look forward to hearing your stories of life in this place, of the things that bring you joy and the things that you absolutely cannot stand, and of all the places in between, that we might collectively discern where God is calling us as we, like many other parishes, do the hard work several years later of wrestling with post-COVID realities. As we begin this chapter together, I hope you will join me in committing ourselves to 4 things. 1, to a life of honesty in prayer, collectively and in private. 2, to being generous and expressing gratitude for the immense blessings we've received and what we've inherited, whether we've been here 50 years or, like me, having come along in recent days. 3, to embracing a collective life together that is marked by humility, care, and seeking to understand. 4, to being courageous in rekindling the flame of God's Spirit that is within us. And as we do so, let us remember Paul's promise. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That spirit has sustained this parish for generations. That spirit sustains us now. And that spirit will carry us into the future that God is preparing for us. May God give us grace to find it so. Amen.